Warning, the following podcast will contain subject matter that on the surface may appear tame and for everyone. We here at Orsini's Uncensored Mind can assure you that it will not be. You will hear adult language. We will have a complete disregard for your feelings and emotions, and we will have zero restraint on the opinions shared on this show. There will be no safe spaces available for anyone listening. So, if you're one of those individuals offended by literally everything, this is not the fucking show for you.
For you, Red, huh? I'm disappointed. Listen carefully, okay? Are you listening?
Yeah.
How about now? You listening? Feel it? I'm not a bad guy, Red.
You want to explain that to the orphans and the widows of the men you killed?
Shit, that's what you think. I'm just some crazy asshole going around unloading on whoever I want to.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think.
That is.
You think you're anything else?
I think that the people I kill need killing. That's what I think.
You left men hanging from meat hooks.
They got off easy, in my opinion.
You shut up a hospital.
Yeah, nobody got hurt or didn't deserve it.
What about you, Frank? What happens the day someone decides you deserve it?
I'll tell you what, they better not miss.
You run around this city like it's your damn shooting gallery.
Yeah, what do you do? What do you do? You act like it's a playground. You beat up the bullies with your fists. You throw them in jail. Everybody calls you a hero, right? And then a month, a week, a day later, they're back on the streets doing the same goddamn thing.
So you just put them in the morgue.
You goddamn right I do.
You ever doubt yourself, Frank?
Not even for a second.
Really? Really? You never think for 1 second. Shit, I just killed a human being.
It's being pretty generous.
A human being who did a lot of stupid shit, maybe even evil, but had one small piece of goodness in him. Maybe just a scrap, Frank, but something. And then you come along and that one tiny flicker of light gets snuffed out forever.
I think you're wrong.
Which part?
All of it. I think there's no good in the filth that I put down. That's what I think.
And how do you know?
I just know. Look around, Red. This city, it stinks. It's a sewer. It stinks and it smells like shit. And I can't get the stink out of my nose. I think that this world, it needs men that are willing to make the hard call. That's what I think. I think you and me are the same.
That's bullshit, Frank. You know it.
Only I do the one thing that you can't. You hit them and they get back up. I hit them and they stay down. It's permanent. I make sure that they don't make it out on the street again. I take pride in that.
Welcome to Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and now your host, AJ Orsini.
How the hell is everybody out there? This is your boy, your main man, your jive-soul brother from another mother. This is your host of Orsini's Uncensored Mind, AJ Orsini. And how the hell is everybody out there? I know that I sound a little different today. The quality is a little off, but you're going to have to bear with me this week because Orsini's on the road. That's right. I did not get a chance to sit down with my normal equipment this week and do the podcast as per usual. Had to switch it up a little bit, running around like a chicken with his head cut off here, and I'm all scrambled about, but we're making things work, especially here at Orsini's Uncensored Mind. We always stick to our commitments. Wednesday, 9 p.m., ajoum.podbean.com, or wherever you catch your favorite podcasts. I stole that line from somebody else. I don't remember where, but it definitely sounds more professional than Google My Shit. So I will be saying that, I guess, going forward. So, right off the bat, let's go ahead and apologize for a few things. Again, yes, I am on the road, which means I am in LE 2.0. I am in my car driving to a location for business. So, I am going to take the chance to do everything that I needed to do right here and right now. I'm going to upload this on time because that is what I fucking do. I do the things I need to do, and I do them on time. So, apologies to all those out there for the audio quality here. I'm going to put this in my program a little later on today. Because the problem with recording the show, and there's not many problems. I only do about an hour and 15 minutes. There's a big truck going by, so excuse that one. But I only really do about an hour and 15 minutes or whatever when I do these episodes. So, I don't have one of those long, drawn-out shows, which is good because for a podcast, it's actually pretty quick, but it's still an hour, and in my world, an hour is a long, long fucking time, and I have things that I have to do, so I have to take the chances and the opportunities when I get them. I got this neat little toy that I just recently purchased. It's a lapel mic for my phone, which is what I'm using in the car now, because I don't want to get a ticket for talking on the phone, even if I am talking to the squad of O. I don't know if the police officers here in the borough of Brooklyn would be too keen on me being on my phone whilst driving. So I'm going to kill two birds with one stone. I'm going to do my show here, and I'm going to do it legally. See that, folks? Follow the rules. Dem's the rules, and I follow them all the way. I was a little late last week on discussing AEW's Fighter Fest, so we're going to get into that level bit here today. A lot of wrestling stuff. Huge announcement for the show. I told you guys, if you bought me another week, I would have a solution. I would have a strategy on hand for my 100th episode. I do. I've got all the information for you here. I'm going to give that to you. It's actually pretty simple. But before I get into literally all that, because we got some pro wrestling to talk about, there's fist fights, there's creative changes, there's independent wrestling talk here. We got a lot going on episode 97 here, but I'm going to start off with a little piece of business. So, that piece of business is on the show's end here. Of course, for those of you who don't know, and of course you should, I've got a t-shirt. That's right, I've got a pro wrestling tees store with the Orsini's Uncensored Mind official tee there. ProWrestlingTees.com/AJOUM. For a long period of time, I have had access to different colors, different cut options as far as female and male. And the store that I was going to for these cuts has officially closed. I got that email just a few days ago. I can open up a new account with another store, and I will, but I have not yet. So that is an update on that, because I got asked about that just the other day, so I'm here to clarify. ProWrestlingTees.com, however, is still up and running, and very much still an option for you if you're trying to get your Senior's Uncensored Mind t-shirt. You can do that, again, by going to ProWrestlingTees.com/AJOUM. They just recently had a Independence Day sale. If you missed it, that's fine. Pro Wrestling Tees usually tends to have sales pretty frequently, actually. It's actually kind of surprising, you know. Pro Wrestling Tees, man, they got everybody on that fucking thing. I'm glad to be a part of that as well. And that's that. You can get the shirt there, support the show, do your thing. I already explained to you about Podbean. One more clarification in case you guys have missed the other episodes. I'm going to be pretty much doing this now, I guess, for the next 3 episodes, I guess, or around about. Episode 100. I guess, no, you know what? I guess we'll get into that. Let's talk about episode 100, because what I'm about to talk about goes into effect after. So let's go chronological here. So this episode that I am bequeathing onto all of you is episode 97. In just a few weeks, we will be hitting our 100th episode. I'm super excited, super proud, super pat myself on the back, super pat you guys on the back for supporting the show. We're past it, actually. I made the announcement a few days ago, or about a week or so ago. We're over 25 countries. 25 different countries has downloaded, shared, copy and pasted, or whatever, the show. 25 have definitely downloaded, but from what I understand, people from other countries have also heard it from different outlets on Anchor and on iTunes and on iHeartRadio. I'm available on other platforms, but I don't get the stats from all of them like I do for like Podbean. So I'm almost approaching 4,000 downloads, 25 other countries. So doing pretty good, not bad. leading up to my 100th episode. I'm extremely pleased. Not every podcast gets this far during this amount of time, so I'm super happy about all that. And once again, thank you guys for supporting the show the way that you have. So let's talk about the 100th episode. I've been teasing it for weeks. I had big plans. I had these big ideas. I guess we can go ahead and tell you what went wrong, and then we'll go into what went right. So what went wrong here is I wanted more of an interactive episode. For those of you guys who have been following the show, every time I hit milestones, I like to do a big time event for it. Either do a live show where we take calls or go live on location in different studios or whatever the case may be. We did a live WrestleMania roundtable. I did a live show for the one-year anniversary. So I've tried to up my game here. I've tried to do better. I've tried to evolve with these events. So I had this really big, elaborate plan for the 100th episode. And while the finances stretched, I was trying super hard to make it go. And I made a few phone calls here or there. So the original goal for the 100th episode was to do a live session. And what I mean by that is I was going to choose a location to do a live one-hour broadcast. It wouldn't have been two. It would have been a live one-hour broadcast from a location in which people could actually attend, i.e. a bar or a meeting area, preferably a bar. I was looking more towards doing the bar deal so you guys could have some drinks. I was going to have some drinks, and we were just going to have a blast. And I was going to do the one-hour show and then spend the second hour basically just partying, living it up, celebrating the 100th, and just getting it in. That was the plan. And I had one for sure, and it went on the hook as far as venues and locations to do that. And little by little, just the communication, everything just kind of crumbled to the ground. And I was left with trying to figure out an alternative method in which to celebrate this 100th. So I didn't get a chance to do that, so we're going to put a pin in that idea. You know, in October, I have the two-year anniversary, so maybe we will revisit that. Although, to be honest with you, the summer was my best shot. I don't know, because now what happens in October is it becomes a scheduling issue. I got shit to do. But we're going to put a pin in that, and we'll look back into it in October for the second year. So what are we doing for the 100th? So what we're doing for the 100th is I'm going to be live. I'm going to be live in studio, two-hour show. We're taking phone calls. We're going to make you guys a part of the show yet again. So that's going to be really fun. I always love doing those live shows. It challenges me. I love the idea of being live, and fuck-ups are what they are. And I loved the idea of doing phone calls again. But I also loved the happy mistake we made with the one-year anniversary. So what happened with the one-year anniversary, the WrestleMania roundtable. So what happened was, is the studio I was in had a technical difficulty. There was a problem with their equipment, and we couldn't do phone calls. So as a precaution, I guess you could say, as an alternative, what we did was, is normally that studio broadcasts through MESN radio, which I was on for the one-year anniversary. So instead of opting for MESN radio, which wouldn't have been, it would have streamed me, but it wouldn't have been able to give me the phone calls, which kind of defeats the purpose. So what we did was, is we streamed live on the official Facebook page, and we were able, and that's how we communicated with you guys. You guys left comments. You guys were leaving comments in the live stream. We were going back and forth. We were adding you guys to the show. It was ridiculously fun. It was great. We were getting immediate responses. It was almost the same, pretty much, as doing the phone call. So that was actually pretty fun. So what we're doing this time is we're combining the good of the WrestleMania roundtable with the good of the one-year anniversary. So we have developed a way where we're going to be able to do the Facebook again. We're going to be live on the official Orsini's Uncensored Mind like page, not the official group. It's going to be on the official like page, and you can go there and watch the show live, and we're going to also be able to take phone calls. So if you're listening to the show and you want to hear your voice and you want to be a physical part of the show as opposed to just typing up, you will be able to call. Fingers crossed that it's still working when I get there, because that's what I thought last time, but it ended up not working out. It was all happening the day of, so who knows. But that is the plan on paper. We're going to take phone calls. You're going to be able to comment live on the stream. And we're going to have a grand fucking time. Now, last time we did this, it was WrestleMania Roundtable. So it was very WrestleMania-centric. This time around, 100th episode, I was actually kind of wondering if it would be better if we did a live interview or just did a live straight-up group discussion. I'm going to be having guests on this show, undetermined at the moment, if you would like to pitch an idea on who you'd like to hear, or more importantly, if you'd like to ask someone a particular question. Is there somebody you want to have on the show that you want to call in and you want to ask them a question yourself? It doesn't have to just be me. You guys can call in and you guys can interact with that. Is there anybody, any person or people of interest? You let me know. So we are all going to be interactive on that. It's episode 97, which means we still have about 3 more weeks before we get to 100. That's the next thing, the win. So we normally air the shows on Wednesday at 9 o'clock. Obviously, for the live shows, we tend to change it up a bit, and we're changing it up here as well. Tuesday, July 30th, 9 p.m., we're going to be broadcasting live on the official Orsini's Uncensored Mind page. And that's where we're going to be doing the show, so that you can tune in there. You can call in there. I have the call-in information. I have the... that's all you need is the call-in information. Because it's going to be on the live stream. And normally, I would provide a link, but you don't need a link. Just go to the Facebook page and click the stream. It's going to be real simple for you guys. So I do have the number. I don't have it in front of me. I think it's the same as before. I'll be posting it anyway. Obviously, I just said, guys, I'm on the road, so I don't have all of my information in front of me. So we'll be able to... I'm going to be updating you guys on the page and through social media leading up to it. And I will refresh this information again next week when I bequeath episode 98 to you guys. And we inch ever so closer to episode 100. So again, guys, thank you guys for supporting for as much as you have. And thank you guys so much. I really can't begin to really get into you guys how much it really means to me that this thing has gone as far as it has. And that I'm still excited about it, that we're still doing this, that we're still having conversations, we're still engaging. For better or for worse, which is where we're going to start off this episode here. Sometimes I say things on this show and I feel inside like I'm actually not being uncensored enough. Like I'm not truly being honest enough. And then there's times where I say things on this show where I feel like I'm being a little too honest. Maybe I'm getting a little too real for them. I don't know. But for some oddball reason, it always feels like the times where I feel like I'm not really being fully uncensored, where I'm not really fully giving all of my opinion on this, and I'm pulling back just a little bit, those are the topics that usually tend to do the most damage for me. And those are the comments that usually tend to get me in the most trouble. So I have yet another topic that I have to discuss here on the show, as more feedback has come back to me, and apparently I've made some comments that need clarifying. Because I'm not going to backtrack on it. I'm just going to clarify. As a matter of fact, I'm going to eat a little crow. I'm going to take it a step further and admit some wrong here. I'm not giving up on the point. I'm not changing where I stand on it. But I am going to clarify something. So the topic, of course, I didn't get a chance to talk much about AEW's Fyter Fest. Okay, I didn't get a chance because I hadn't seen it. Well, I've seen it. So I made a few comments online. I've had, you know, discussions. I don't just talk in just my Facebook group, which is the Orsini's Uncensored Mind official Facebook group, where you guys can post up and share your thoughts on the show, or share your thoughts on pretty much anything. Brandon Lewis pretty much floods my timeline on that thing with comic book and entertainment information. I got other guys sharing wrestling stuff, and it's just a nice little, I don't know, the group's coming along a little nicely now. A lot of interaction down there in the group. And I've had some conversations there, but I also have conversations in other wrestling groups, which is, I've done that rant already. It's hit or miss. And sometimes it's super cool to have those conversations, and sometimes it's just one gigantic pain in the ass. So, but I had one recently that really stood out. I had one recently that really, like, bothered me, and it's someone who doesn't listen to the show, but I know I've mentioned this on the show, so I'm going to clarify. We're going to talk a little bit about Cody Rhodes for just a second, okay, because I've made comments on this show and that have concerned me about the Cody Rhodes AEW relationship, his role as a top guy, as far as a performer, his role as management, so to speak, as an EVP, comments that he's made about his focus or his goals as far as being a performer in AEW and how he wants to be a performer first, and a member of management, you know, second. And all those things have concerned me. His chameleon ability to go into a ring and either have an old school wrestling match depending on his opponent, and have a high spot match depending on his opponent. I've had a lot of issues with the new Cody Rhodes. The WWE Cody Rhodes, believe it or not, I was a huge fan of. That was when the chameleon thing was working well for him. It didn't matter what they gave him. He turned it into, he would always turn their chicken shit into fucking chicken salad. And he would always do that. And I had a lot of respect for Cody. I didn't think he was the best wrestler in the world, but I loved his hustle. I loved his pedigree. I loved the fact that he can do just about a little bit of everything. I was a fan. I became less of a fan the more indie shit he did, but I was a fan. And now I have to eat a little crow, because AEW Cody Rhodes is a completely different Cody. Once again, the chameleon has shifted colors, and now he is a completely different animal. And I have to say, I like it. Two straight shows, Double or Nothing, Fighter Fest. In my opinion, the best show, the best match on Double or Nothing was Cody and Goldust. Or Cody and Dustin, whatever. Nightmare versus Drew. Natural, whatever. The best match on Fighter Fest is Cody and Darby Allin. And for similar reasons. For similar reasons. It's easier, I think, for Cody to have that old school type of match with Dustin, because it's, you know, it's Dustin. But the fact that he was able to slow down, carry, and pretty much lead through a young guy with all the talent in the world, who I'm sure will remember or learn a lot from everything that just happened at Fighter Fest with Cody. I mean, he kind of changed a lot of perceptions about Darby Allin. Darby Allin came to play. He's a great athlete. He's a hell of a performer. If you've had a chance to see some of his stuff from back home, back in the UK, and a lot of the stuff that he's done, the indie scene here in the States. I mean, the guy's talented. There's no doubt about it. But a lot of these young, talented guys don't have much exposure to kind of that old school, methodical, make everything count, facial expression style. And normally when that happens, my fear is that Cody is going to dip into their tool bag and try to keep up at their level and try to keep up with what they do, even if it's not his strengths. But Cody has not done that since AEW has started. Cody has actually done the opposite. Cody has created his mandated style. If you're going to wrestle Cody Rhodes, this is the style that you're going to be wrestling. He will fit in your shit. He is going to feed you your shit. He's going to give you your shine. But for the remainder of that match, follow the leader. And I got to tell you, I love it. This is not, actually, I was expecting this more from Jericho. I find myself looking at Jericho in the other direction now. It's coming across now like Jericho's trying to evolve more into them as opposed to make them become him. And I see it now with Cody as opposed to Jericho. Cody seems to be doing that now, where he's pretty much telling everybody, you know, follow me, kid, and this is how the match is going to go. And I got to tell you, they're coming out great. For me, he's 2 for 2. And I got to eat crow on that because I've always said, as much as I respect him and as great a performer as he is, the wrestling side of it, not so much. But I can't say that now. Not 2 times in a row. I mean, the storytelling has been amazing. You know, the situation with Dustin, I think, was a little easier. But with Darby Allin, you look at that match originally, you know, when you're watching the pre-show or whatever, and they're pumping, you know, Cody's got Darby Allin. You go, what the fuck is this? And then you watch the match, and you say, okay, well, that's what this is. You know, he's giving this young guy an opportunity to showcase his shit. And it was good shit. Such good shit. It was such good shit. You know, Fighter Fest had a lot of great moments. You know, as a I consider myself kind of an old school guy, but for me, old school is whatever I basically grew up on. So something new school that involves a little old school can sometimes catch my fancy. I loved, even though a lot of people didn't, I did. I loved the Young Buck, Kenny Omega entrance with the Street Fighter references and the Raging Demon and all that stuff. Wasn't as keen on the match, but these guys are great. They're great athletes. It's funny because AEW is so multi-man heavy. You know, the triple threat match in the pre-show was ridiculous. Ridiculous. And I know I'm being partial. You know, I grew up with the Private Party. We know each other for a long time. I've called their matches. I've done announcements for them. I've interviewed them. I've worked with them for years. So, yeah, there's a soft spot a little bit there for the Private Party guys. Yeah. You know, and of course, Best Friends, one of my favorite tag teams in the world right now. Yeah, I love all the components of that. You know, but there's some other stuff, and the criticisms I keep hearing is kind of the same thing. If I had to pick one part of the show where I'm like, oh my god, I could have did without that, I'm not digging it. I don't think I'm the only one here. I'm not a big fan of this librarian stuff. It's different. It's different, so we'll play it out. We'll see how this goes. They may evolve it. They may change it up. You never know. There's still time on the clock here to do some pretty creative stuff. We haven't done the TV yet, which is a big proponent to a lot of this stuff. Because I just feel like they're putting together cards for the sake of putting together cards. And myself, like I said, I'm kind of an old school fan. So if I don't have a story wrapped up in a lot of these characters, it's really hard for me to either get behind or care. And I don't think I'm the only one that feels that way. And the only reason why I don't really criticize it too much is because the guys they're bringing in are so talented. But I just feel like they're kind of waiting in the water here. They're kind of holding pattern until we can get to the weekly television, and then they can tell the stories they want to tell. Just in the meantime, there's a lot of question marks about a lot of these characters. And you're seeing them for the first time, and you're just thinking to yourself, my God, I absolutely need to figure out who this person is. It's almost like you have to do the homework on your own, you know, because there aren't too many descriptions for these people that are coming in. There's no real backstory. There's no, I don't know, it just feels like they're half pregnant here. You know, they'll acknowledge who Jungle Boy's dad is, but they won't tell you how he became Jungle Boy, why he calls himself Jungle Boy, why is he hanging around with this grown man who calls himself Luchasaurus, who claims to be 65 billion years old. There's a backstory to all this, I'm sure. Problem is I don't know it. So if you're going to force your audience to Google your product, I don't necessarily know if that's best for the future of your show. I think that lends itself to problems, because I can't focus on just what you're telling me if you're not telling me much. If you're not telling me much, that means I have to do most of the work myself, and that's going to discourage me. Not me, I'm a wrestling fan. I'm just saying, for casuals and for people, you're trying to get to watch your product, it can be a hassle. So I myself find myself in a holding pattern because I feel like the company is in a holding pattern. Because they're waiting for that TV to kick in so they can tell the stories and show them the way that they want to tell them. And I think that's good. I think you should tell these stories. I think you should tell these characters. I think not doing it now actually does save some stuff for your show. But your shows, I mean, we're in July. We've had two shows already. There's another one coming up, I think, in about a week or 2 weeks. And then we're leading up to All Out. And even after All Out, they still won't be on TV because their TV program doesn't necessarily begin until October. So even after the big show, even after they get on their weekly television and really get the ball rolling, they really still won't have the opportunity to tell the stories correctly because they would have already have exposed so much of their talent. So we'll see how this goes. They're trying. They have a real opportunity here because of their situation. So I find myself in a holding pattern. I find a lot of good. I find a lot of not so good. And that's pretty much where AEW is at this point. We've talked about it here on the show a bunch. There's a lot of different things that they could be doing. There's a lot of different things that they are going to do. They're very vocal about that. I will say this about AEW. They're very vocal about a lot of that shit. They're very vocal about a lot of that shit. They're vocal about the fact that they're listening to the fans about this. And, you know, we've hired this person. And you know, they're very vocal. They use social media perfectly, which is part of the whole shtick of the whole elite. You know, but they're very hands-on. They're very interactive. I think that's the best way to keep relations with their fans while they're transitioning here. So as long as they keep that going and they're pretty much an open book at this point, it shouldn't be much of a problem. We're going to be segueing off into a different direction than this one. I'm telling you, folks, you're probably not going to be too happy with. We're going to talk a little bit about Ring of Honor. We're going to talk a little bit about Ring of Honor here. There's some things that we need discussing. But real quick, before we get into all of that, I got a little something to say about a good old company that's been helping us out here at Orsini's Uncensored Mind for a while. I've already hit them up. They're going to join me for the 100th episode on July 30th. It's going to be a good time. Let's learn a little bit more about 2BScene.com. Let's learn a little bit about that.
Hey guys, Orsini here, and I just want to take the time to thank our sponsor for the live WrestleMania Roundtable, 2BScene.com. That is the number 2, BESCENE.com. They are an entertainment and videography company, and I have given them big 2 thumbs up. I have used them in the past for my own pro wrestling company, and I'm glad to be working with them yet again with the podcast. Now, again, they're an entertainment and videography company. They do it all, baby. They storyboard, they film you, they edit, they publish all in one place. It's easy come, easy go. They even have the ability to shoot the baby in 4K. If you're a YouTuber or an internet sensation coming up, these are the people that you want to contact and work with. What's that? You're not a YouTuber? You're not trying to be all over the place? That's fine. You can still go to their website for entertainment purposes. They hold live trailer chats. They discuss movies and anything entertainment. Check it out again. The number 2, BESCENE.com.
Once again, thank you to 2BScene.com for everything they've done for me recently. I literally cannot thank them enough for all the participation they've had in my and facilitating this show and helping me in my other endeavors. I'm all over the place. My hands have been very full this summer, as I predicted many, many weeks ago that it would. And I'm only getting busier, folks. This is why I'm still on the road here. Thank you for tagging along here in this very exclusive and very different version of Orsini's Uncensored Mind. When last we left you, We were talking over about some stuff here with Cody Rhodes and AEW, and we're going to divulge a little bit into some Ring of Honor stuff. And the reason why I want to bring up Ring of Honor is because, again, we're talking hot button stuff here, hot button topics. I don't normally divulge myself into the chitter chatter of what people are talking about. I usually define my own show and pick my own topics, but some of these are just can't avoid. Sometimes I do these episodes where you have to kind of catch up with the rest of the world. And one of the biggest topics of conversation, and I wish I could remember the name of the person that said this online, I would give them full credit for it, for saying it, but it was put so eloquently, it stuck in my head, and it's definitely something that I wanted to talk about. And the exact quote that I remember reading was, "Everyone was so concerned about WWE during the announcements of AEW that they completely neglected the fact that the person that AEW would hurt the most wouldn't be WWE. It would probably end up being Ring of Honor." And as time has passed since the announcement, we've now had two shows under AEW's belt. It's becoming more and more and more evident to be fact that that statement might be more true than we ever thought. Ring of Honor, I have some very personal ties to Ring of Honor, not just professionally, because I've worked with a lot of their talent and a lot of their production, and I've had a chance very briefly in the past to work with Gabe and all the people over there who got a chance to be with Ring of Honor. I've never actually had an opportunity to work with Ring of Honor, but I have worked with literally everybody who has. So, although that's on a professional level, on a personal level, I think I've told this story on the show before, but on a personal level, the very first anniversary gift I ever received from my wife, from Mrs. O, was tickets to Ring of Honor. It was a September 11th show, 2004. I want to say Glory by Honor. I can't remember which number. And ever since then, just my love for Ring of Honor bloomed and blossomed as talent rolled through. And you had top guy after top guy. And you can remember who all the champions were. And it was very easy to keep track of. And the matches were competitive. And it was such an eclectic mix of styles. Lucha guys and technical guys and brawlers. And there'd be fights. And it would just get real. And people would be putting... Clorox in people's mouths, and it would be all kinds of shit taking place inside the ring for Ring of Honor. And I just have to say that I have had some very, very, very close personal ties to that company for a long time. However, in about, I want to say 2011, 2012, I just started really falling off. I just genuinely started losing interest in the product. And that's as a fan, as a professional. Obviously, you keep track. Obviously, I have friends in the industry that were getting tryouts and eventually getting hired. So I started taking more of an interest professionally. But as a fan, I fell off. And one of the biggest reasons I fell off, and it's a criticism that I had for Ring of Honor for a long time, is Ring of Honor started getting comfortable. They realized they were one of the top promotions in the world. They were having a great working relationship with another great promotion, with New Japan. They were cranking out match after match, show after show. People were using Ring of Honor as the antithesis of the WWE. Meaning if you were a WWE fanboy, all you knew was WWE, whenever someone said, "Well, do you watch anything else?" And they would say, "Well, what else is there?" Ring of Honor is usually the first thing that used to come to mind. People used to pop it up. It was a badge of honor to be a Ring of Honor fan. Sitting in the audience and standing on line for a Ring of Honor show is one of the most painful experiences in the world, because everyone on that line and everyone in that building is a Ring of Honor professional, and they're not exactly shy in letting you know exactly what they know and how they know it and how long they've been watching and yada, yada, yada. Ring of Honor fans for a long time were the equivalent of those aunts and uncles that travel and then come back and sit you down for an hour or two and show you the photos. You know, they had them developed immediately just so they could show you the photos they took on their vacation and shit like that. So for a long time, it was a real badge of honor to really be a Ring of Honor fan. And for me, it was a badge of honor for a long time. I was proud of being a fan of that promotion. I was especially proud whenever stars from that promotion moved up into the bigger stage, into the bigger venues, into the bigger companies. And in 2011, I started falling off. And the reason I started falling off is because I really felt like a lot of the guys on the program started really blending together, if that makes any sense. It was like match one went a certain way, and then match two kind of went the same way, and then match three kind of went the same way, and eventually we got to match eight, and I don't think I could tell which match was what in what particular order. There wasn't a whole lot of variety after a while. It started becoming the same old, same old. It was the same. It was like a string of WWE dark matches, just over and over and over and over. And of course, the work rate was better. They were a little stiffer, working a little snugger. You know, they were getting their shit in, all that stuff. But it was just starting to become the same stuff over and over and over. There really wasn't that much of a difference in matches and styles. And eventually, you know, when it comes down to it, I got bored. So I just stopped. And every now and then I would refresh myself. I would check out a few matches here and there, but never really full shows. When I started ring announcing and when I started doing commentary, which was around that time, 2011, 2012, I paid a little bit more attention to the stars, because at some point I knew I was going to cross paths with them and work with them, so I wanted to keep track of their moves, and I wanted to keep track of the gimmicks and all the different catchphrases, whatever cues that I can pick up to do my job. But as a fan, recreationally, no, I didn't really pay too much attention to what was happening inside Ring of Honor. And now, 2019, I don't think I'm alone in this anymore. I can't really... I know that Matt Taven is the Ring of Honor World Champion, but and I'm doing this cold. I normally do the homework, but there's a reason I didn't do the homework on this. Because to prove a point, I don't really know who the television champ is. I really don't know who the tag team champs are. I actually forgot up until literally just now that they even had six-man tag titles. I don't know what the big program is. I don't know what the big feud is. It's not... Is it easy to look up? Sure. But it's the fact that it's not common knowledge, the fact that I haven't already looked it up, the fact that I haven't had the urge, the fact that many people that I've spoken to haven't had the urge. You know, I've asked around. You know, I meet people, I talk to people, I start asking them questions, and we start talking about different promotions, and whenever I get to, you know, if I ask a random wrestling fan about the WWE, it'll probably be more negative than positive, but they'll know their shit. AEW, they know their shit. You know, even to a degree, Impact. Believe it or not, I've actually had more conversations recently with people about Impact than Ring of Honor. Now, to be fair, I've got more friends in Impact than I got at Ring of Honor, but nevertheless, I don't really hear a whole lot of conversation going on about Ring of Honor. And I'm not saying it's a bad promotion. I think, actually, it's still a very, very good promotion. The problem with Ring of Honor is the star power is just not there. You have Jay Lethal and literally everyone else. And that's not the Ring of Honor that people remember. Ring of Honor, we used to make jokes back in the day. Ring of Honor was kind of like an all-star game. It was like the best talent in the world would come and converge on this one platform and give everybody an opportunity to get a chance possibly to see some incredible matchups. We don't have that right now. We don't have a whole lot of that right now. Matt Taven is your world champion. And Matt Taven is a fantastic worker. And the guy works a good gimmick. But he's not exactly setting the world on fire as Ring of Honor world champion. That's just being truthful. Just being honest. There weren't too many people happy with the fact that he took the belt in the first place, but I don't actually blame Ring of Honor for that. You got to get new blood in the top spot. Jay Lethal can't hold the world title forever. And yes, I know Marty was in that match, and he might have been the more popular favorite, but thank God he didn't win it, because he's doing amazing right now with Villain Enterprises. Without being the world champion, he's managed to find himself in one of the top spots in the entire company. There's not a lot of buzz right now on Ring of Honor. And I don't know if there's a quick solution. I don't know if there's this quick fix where we can get in here and just work shit out. I don't know what the solution... I know you're probably thinking, AJ, you brought this topic up. Surely you have some solutions. I don't, because all of the solutions that I would give, they have seemingly tried. They've gone against their own formula. They've started hiring guys with different styles. So the guys aren't going in there putting on the same fucking matches every time. They've hired a very diverse group of talent. Roosh and even Shane Taylor to a degree with the big man brawler style. They've given Silas Young a bigger part and everything. Colt Cabana has been back recently. They've manufactured a great relationship with New Japan and with NWA. However, I'm hearing now that the New Japan portion of the relationship may not nearly be as strong as it used to be. But Ring of Honor has done everything that you could do. Try to fresh up the product with new talent, they've done it. Try to change the presentation of the television product, they've done it. Change in creative, Booker, they've changed Bookers, they've changed creative. Hasn't worked. And I dare to guess the reason why they're in so much struggle right now is because AEW is fresh and new. Ring of Honor has been around since 2002. That is a 17-year run. And I'm not saying 17 is old. It's clearly not. But there's got to be some fatigue there. The same thing that I've been saying recently on social media about the WWE. We've seen so much from the WWE. Can we truly still be entertained by them? What can they do to shock and awe us? There's not much I can think about. There's not much left on the ledger that they can do. They're trying to be creative and do some new things, but you know how hard it is to do new in 2019? Look at Hollywood. Look at all the movies coming out. Remakes and sequels and reboots and remakes. All kinds of shit. I made a joke the other day. I don't know if I said it on the air, but I'll say it here again. I took my son and my family to go see Toy Story 4. Toy Story 4, right? You know, a movie from the 90s. We went to go see Toy Story. I come out of the movie theater. It was a smaller movie theater. I come out of the movie theater, and in the movie theater, next, we were like at the end of the hallway, Toy Story, all the way at the end. So we have to walk back through the hallway to exit the building. So you pass other theaters as you go. And I'm at Toy Story, and as I walk in Toy Story to the front door, I see next to Toy Story, Men in Black, Child's Play, Annabelle. What year is this? There wasn't anything in the movie theater that originated in the 2000s. Nothing. And that's because everything is a rehash, everything is a remake. It's hard to be original in 2019. It is hard. That's why when you do find someone who breaks the mold, you do find someone who goes against the grain a little bit, you gotta ride them and try to see how far you can go with it. But even that now gets taxing, because how many original movies, how many original songs, how many original stories, how many original everything that come out now and get destroyed? People complain that there's nothing new and original coming out, and then when new and original comes out, they don't like it. People say, oh, how many Fast and Furious movies can they make? As many as you keep buying. You keep going to the movies to go fucking see it, so they're going to keep fucking making it. And I think that's the problem that Ring of Honor is having. They've been making the same fucking movie over and over and over. And at first, yeah, it was a damn good movie. But now people are getting sick of the film. The cast has changed so many times. It's nothing like the original cast. It's been watered down. That's why Jay Lethal being there is, I actually believe, hurts more than it helps. That signing back with Ring of Honor for the multi-year deal that he did was a bad move. It just was a bad move. Bad for Jay, bad for Ring of Honor. He still has prime years left. He could have gotten a big money contract out of that. And I don't know, maybe come back to Ring of Honor when that was over. But I think he wanted to show the loyalty to Ring of Honor for putting him in the top spot. He wanted to prove to the world he can carry a company. He wanted to prove to the world that he, even a fledgling one, I'm going to get this back on its feet. I'm that good. I'm that talented that I'm going to get this company back on its feet. But what happens if you don't? Is your career worth ruining for the sake of one company? I guess to him, it is. It's worth the risk, and he's going to try. But I really do believe that was a bad deal. That is a bad deal. He's not getting anything out of that. There's a new generation of Ring of Honor coming up, and they have to sink or swim. And that goes for any wrestling roster anywhere. This is why a lot of promoters use the same fucking talents over and over and over, because it's hard. It's hard to get over talent. It's easy to promote and book talent that's already over. It's hard to build a star and make one. And, even worse, hard to keep it. Because for the guys and gals who are promoting out in the industry today, who do make a talent, who do make a star, they usually get poached. Because again, it's easy to book and promote an already established star than to build one. So when you build one, you just gotta kind of hope and pray they stick around and help you out and return the favor, which is what Jay did. But I think he did it at the expense of himself. I think it hurts him. I think this is a bad deal for him. I think it's a bad deal for Ring of Honor. Because you can't move on with the old guard still in the top spot. It's why when Samoa Joe's contract with Impact Wrestling, I don't know if people remember, but Samoa Joe's contract with Impact, I think it was Impact when he retired, when he left, Impact Wrestling, he came back to Ring of Honor for like a match. And I think that was just like a tip of the cap type situation, maybe get over some young talent and leave. Bryan Danielson did the same. CM Punk did the same. A lot of these guys went back, thanked them, showed their loyalty, and then were gone. Jay didn't do that. He came back, he showed his loyalty, and he's still trying to show it to this day. And it doesn't matter how many undercard matches he has, he's been a top guy in that company for far too long. For far too long. That it may start working against him. That's why I like the booking idea of him now, of booking him underneath, so that people, you know, like Cornette says, you know, how can I miss you if you never go away? Lesser profile, lesser advertisement, lesser push. Cleanses the palate. And when they're ready to push him again, it'll be fresh again. So it's smart. And I hope it works. I hope people just aren't burnt out on the whole deal. Not just Jay Lethal, but Ring of Honor as a whole. Because to be honest with you, the way that the wrestling landscape looks right now as we speak, there is a lot of professional wrestling going on all around the world through streaming sites, live on pay-per-view, networks, the WWE, AEW, Impact Wrestling, Ring of Honor, PWG is doing big things on the West Coast, AIW is doing big things in the Midwest. Florida promotions, got some big Texas promotions down there. Outside of the U.S., we have strong ties still in the Canadian territories. Down in Mexico, hot and popping down there. The U.K., obviously the hotbed of pro wrestling. Australia is kicking up. Japan's kicking up. Japan is expanding around the world. Wrestling is global. And it's at a point where it's more accessible than ever before. So you would think there'd be jobs galore, business would be booming. But herein lies the problem. All this access, all these hours of programming, all these shows, all this talent, as in this professional wrestlers showing up and having a style that is more hard-hitting, that is more athletic than it's ever been. And the one thing that's killing this business is the creativity. There just isn't much of it. Everyone's got the choreography down. There's no doubt about that. Wrestling is about as athletic as any sport in the world today. It's majestic when it's done the right way. So everyone has the choreography down, that's for sure. But no one is getting the creativity part. It's very hard. It's very hard. How do you shock and awe an audience that has seen them all? Especially my generation. My generation is probably the most difficult to entertain. We saw ECW. We saw WCW. We saw WWF. We saw All Japan Pro. We saw FMW. We saw the real CML and AAA. We saw the world of sports over in England. We've seen all kinds of shit for decades. So when a guy comes up now with a 450 fucking splash to the floor, well, we golf clap it. Big golf clapping. That's why all the new guys, the only way they can really get a pop, if you don't have the technical ability or the professionalism to get a reaction naturally through your work, that's how we wind up with all these gimmick shits. Like dick flips and vomiting and tampons and all kinds of weird, ridiculous shit. Because it hasn't been done yet. That's the area that we're at with the whole, what else can we do that hasn't been done yet shit. It's a fact. That hasn't been done yet. So you got to try something. You got to carve a niche out somewhere. That's why, as much as I hate the dick flip stuff, I actually can't hate on him doing it because it fucking makes him money. People are paying to fucking see it. And I get it. He will say, well, because that's how I feel about it. Well, just because it sells, just because it sells tickets, just because people pay to see it, doesn't make it right. That's true. Because I can promise you, if you sold tickets to a pay-per-view, a live pay-per-view of inmates getting executed by the state, if you did that, you sold tickets, people would go to that shit. I'm still on the road, guys, excuse me, but there's a school bus with a stop sign that a car literally just ran through. Almost hit a fucking kid as we speak right now. I don't mean to be sidetracked here. But yeah. So anyway, it gets difficult. I just went on a rant there. Apologies. But there's not a whole lot of buzz on Ring of Honor. I know, I'm all over the place on that one. But there's not a whole lot of buzz on the whole Ring of Honor deal. And I think those are a lot of the reasons why. I don't think it's a bad promotion. I don't think the people that work there aren't talented. They're all good people who are working their asses off to get over and to provide for their families and to put on a good product for Ring of Honor. And I don't think the fans are assholes or betrayers or whatever the fuck just because they stopped supporting the company. I just think it's a sad tale. Between two entities, the promoter, or the promotion, I should say, and its fan base. There's a disconnect right now. And hopefully they can get it back. There's one guy in particular that I've got to discuss for a second as we wrap up this episode here. And there's one gentleman I got to talk about, I got to bring up. I've talked about him before here on the show. But there's more to discuss. It is not that serious. It's actually a pretty positive conversation to have. So I'm glad to have it. But there is a gentleman by the name of Homicide, the Notorious 187, a mentor, a teacher, a coach to many great talents here in the New York area. I am not excluded from that. I'm very proud to say that he has touched my career in a great way, in a positive way. He helped me very much in my early days. Whenever I manage to find myself in a locker room down the line, he helps me even then. The guy is just a sponge for this business. He's one of the greatest guys I've ever known. I shouldn't be saying that out loud, trying to keep the kayfabe here, because he genuinely is a homicidal maniac. But he's a sugar bear to us. You know, if he likes you, he likes you. If he hates you, you're probably gonna not be breathing for a while. But he is definitely one of the toughest sons of bitches I've ever met. And I'm extremely happy to say that this Sunday, July 14th, I have the address in front of me here. 307 Kent Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. The building is called Villain, I believe is what it's called. There is a tribute show. Game Changer Wrestling is doing a tribute show called 5150. Here on there's going to be a show here, tribute to Homicide, July 14th, 4 p.m. is the time listed here for the event. My streak of not attending shows was over with Impact Wrestling, and now I have a new streak, a streak of attending shows. Because I will be in the house this Sunday. I will probably do some gimmick while I'm there, interview somebody or whatever the case may be. I'm bringing the equipment because there's going to be so many people there that it's going to be redunk. I can't wait personally to get on this and just have a moment to just hang out with all my friends and all these guys who I've known for so many years in the industry. It's going to be like a family reunion of some of New York's best talent. And the fact that I got the invite to go is humbling. It really is. It's a big deal to me. I'm probably going to be emotional on this day. Not just because of Homicide, but of who Homicide will be competing against. As you all know, I'm very close, very tight with Ortiz and Santana of LAX, and they're going to reunite their feud one last time. LAX versus the OGs in the main event of this tribute show. Only Homicide would wrestle in the main event of his own goddamn tribute show. It's not even a farewell show, because he's not retiring. It's just a big-ass venue filled with people there to thank and to give their testimonials to Homicide and to show their love and appreciation for everything he's done in this industry. So I will be in the house. Again, I'm not booked to work. I'm not going to be on the program. I don't think it's going to be streamed. Game Changer does stream their shows. I have no knowledge of whether or not this one will be streamed. But I'm not going to, even if it was streamed, I'm not on it. Unless something changes that I don't know about, I will not be working on the show. I will be in the house, and I will be dressed to impress as per usual, because that's me. That's how I do. So I will be in the house for that, so I wanted to put that out there. Again, the 100th episode, July 30th. That is a Tuesday. Special time, 5 p.m. We're going live from 5 to 7. I really hope traffic is going to cooperate with me on this day, because the last show that I did, which was the WrestleMania Roundtable, I was set to go live at 6 o'clock. And I got there maybe 5:45. So we didn't really get a chance to drive on anything. We didn't get a chance to run through any possible technical difficulties. So, of course, as luck would have it, we had some. So there wasn't really much we could do about that. But this time around, the clock's going to be ticking. This time I have to be there by 5. Now, the time that I'm leaving to go on the trip to the place is much earlier than usual, so I should be on time. Everything should be good to go. I've been assured by the company that I am streaming from, or the studio that I'm working with, that the equipment has been upgraded and everything should be good. So this should run extra, extra smooth, and we should be good for that. So that's the 100th episode. That's going to stream live on Orsini's Uncensored Mind official Facebook page. The like page is where we will be doing this whole thing from. So check that out, July the 30th. This is episode 97. I am going to be doing episode 98 next Wednesday, episode 99 on a Wednesday, and of course episode 100 will be Tuesday. Now, here's what I was going to mention earlier, and I waited till the end because I wanted to make sure all the information was out before I said this. The official time of release for this show is Wednesday, 9 p.m. Every Wednesday, 9 p.m., blah, 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 blah. That time is officially changing. I've made the decision. It is final. It is confirmed. Episode 100 will be Tuesday the 30th. Let me pull the calendar up before I misspeak, so I can get this all together. I'm going to put a video out about this to remind everyone. So, episode 100 will be July the 30th, which is a Tuesday. So right here, August the 3rd, which is the same week, I'm going to be releasing episode 100, because we're live on the stream, so it doesn't go to my server for Podbean. So the official release of episode 100 will take place Saturday at 9 p.m. That's going to be the new release time going forward. So that's August the 3rd. Saturday, August the 3rd. It will be the start of the weekly Saturday releases, episode 100. That's when that's going to happen. So August 3rd, July 30th, I will do the stream on Facebook. That audio will be uploaded, episode 100, on Podbean August 3rd by about 9 p.m., we'll say. I'll give myself some time to upload it. Okay, so it'll be uploaded and it'll be done and taken care of then. And then from now on, after that, 101, 102, yada, 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 will all be released Saturday at 9 p.m. M. I still have 2 episodes left before 100. But don't let that deter you, my friends and family. I've got some surprises coming up. I think as early as 98, the next episode. And a nice little surprise that I know is happening in 99. And, of course, the big show at 100. So the next 3 weeks are pretty fucking hectic for me. I got the Homicide show. There actually might be another wrestling show that I'm attending, but I'm not entirely confirmed for that yet. I'll update you guys on that. And, of course, all the stuff that I just mentioned. So, whew! Orsini's Uncensored Mind is still making some crazy moves. And 2019 so far for me is just, it's hectic, but you know what? This has been one of the better years thus far. Where are we? July? We're halfway through. If 2020 is nearly as good as 2019, it's going to be a fucking awesome time. So thank you guys for bearing with me. I know this audio quality is not the best, but I got through this, and I'm sure you guys will be tuning in the coming weeks. A lot of cool shit coming up, guys. A lot of cool shit. So I'm still on the road. I have not gotten to where I'm going. I just recorded an entire episode for this fucking show, and I'm still not there. So that's fine. When I get there, at least I know everything will be done. I just got to upload. It's all going to be good. I got some very nice surprises coming up for you guys, some special shit. A lot of cards up my sleeve, folks. All right? So thank you for downloading. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for... what did I do? Thank you for downloading. Thank you for liking. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for... I'm fucked up. This fucking road trip's got me all messed up. Anyway, thank you for fucking enjoying the show. God damn it. I have bequeathed yet another episode. We'll get through all this shit, I swear to God. There's going to be a day.
Much like a popular television show says all the time, winter is coming. I don't know what show that is because I'm not up on my pop culture, but I will tell you this, winter is indeed coming, and winter gets chilly. You know how you can counteract chilly? You know how you can counteract cold? Clothing. That's right, the more clothing you have on, the better a chance you have of surviving those frigid temperatures. You know what the color of this particular winter is? Gray. You didn't know that? I don't know what it really is either, but I can tell you it's gray because it fits into my agenda. And my agenda is to let you guys know that you can fight those frigid temperatures by wearing the Orsini's Uncensored Mind official t-shirt. It's a sports gray. It's very needed. It's very nice. You guys can get that by going to prowrestlingtees.com/AJOUM.
Welcome to our dirty show. This is Orsini's Uncensored Mind. If you listen to my daddy's show, he should buy me toys. He's a good daddy.